This is Steve Hackett. You're listening to The Prog Report.
The Prog Report Show, featuring the latest in progressive rock with your host, Roy Avin.
Welcome to another Prog Report. We've got some great music here for you today. Some interviews and tracks from the latest Steve Hackett, Stephen Wilson, Neil Morse, and more. So far, it's been a really great year for music, and it really is expected to just get better. But for now, we're going to kick it off with a song from the new Steve Hackett album called Wolffly, which comes out beginning of April here in the U.S. The song is called The Wheels Turning. I had a chance to talk with Steve about coming off the Genesis Revisited tour and what drove him to make this new album.
It's been terrific, you know, and I realized that I could have had a job for life doing that. but I thought, great to bring back the Genesis dream, but I wanted people to realize that I was interested in new music as well, and other collaborations and mixing genres and doing that in tandem. So it was important not to just be a curator in a museum of my own making. You know, part of what I do is wearing the curator's cap, but right. And loving it, you know, loving bringing that stuff back to people, to the disenfranchised Genesis fans who feel that the band fulfilled perhaps its quota in one way, but not its early promise in terms of what it could have been creatively if you took the more weird and wonderful and perhaps less media friendly aspects of what it was all about, where I suspect, you know, the early ethos might have paralleled Pink Floyd a little more, where it was atmosphere was paramount and telling stories as well.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, something was gained as the band gained ground and production became more slick, no doubt about that. Popularity went through the roof, but when people look back at Genesis now, it's the early albums that seem to outpace the later ones in terms of sales. So it really does seem that there's a difference between the stuff that was done as a five-man team.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud to have been part of that.
Just
Up next is Stephen Wilson, who had one of the more highly anticipated albums this year called Hand Cannot Erase, which, as you probably know by now, is a concept album about a woman in the UK who was discovered missing after 3 years. She had been dead in her apartment. And there was a documentary that was done about that. And apparently that was what drove Stephen to pursue this as the concept for the album. I had a chance to talk with him about what a release date is like for him these days and getting ready to put out that album.
Well, to be honest, release date these days is fairly meaningless because it's simply the day that people can actually buy the CD from Amazon or buy in the store, whatever. Most people, I think, by the time the album is released, have already got it. Or at least they've heard it, you know,
right.
Streaming, or they, you know, they've seen videos, or they've heard previews, or of course they've managed to find the album's leaked, and they've managed to. So actually, the release date is not as significant as it was when I was buying records as a kid. You know, sure. I couldn't hear anything literally until the day the album was in the store, and I saved up my money to buy. So I think again that's changed since I started, and it isn't as meaningful as it was. What's more significant for me is the start of the tour, which starts about a week later. Starts on the 12th of March. Now that's going to be the really big day, because really until the first time I walk out in front of an audience to play a new show, I really don't know whether it's going to click or not. You know, so that's a more important day in my mind.
Cross the schoolyard with your head held down, and walk the streets under the breaking cloud, with 100 futures cascading out. It's complicated. You think of love as just a memory, a fog that smothers you. It's hard to breathe. When you're on your own, that's when you're free. You're 3 years older and you'll always be now. I can feel you more than you really know. love you more than I'll ever show. There was a time when someone seemed to care, a tourist in your bed, you left him there and found a simple life with no one to share. It's not complicated, you make a list of all your big regrets and share with people that you've never met. You slowly move towards the medicine chest. You're 3 years older and you'll always be now. I can feel you more than you really know. I will love you more than I'll ever show. You only have to say, and the world will slip away from you. We'll be right back.
Toto are back with a new album after almost 10 years. They brought back vocalist Joseph Williams for this one, who last was with them for a full album on the seventh one, which was way back in the 80s. He did sing on a couple of tracks off their last album in 2006 called Falling in Between. The album is called Toto 14, and we're going to play the opening track called Running Out of Time. I had a chance to speak with one of the leading songwriters and founding members, David Paich, about working with Joseph again and what that brought to the new album.
It was absolutely awesome. You know, I can't say enough about him. First of all, when we were touring, he's such a strong singer and has continued to be such a strong singer, but he's singing better than ever now. It's like, because when you go out live and you're touring 2 hours a night in a live show, everybody gets stronger singing-wise and playing-wise and confidence-wise and everything. And after our fourth year, you know, doing it, we're like, you know, all revved up and the muscles are toned. He just came, he just brought it, you know, is all I can say. And he had everything we needed to. Every time you sing a melody, what's so fun is to have a singer there. And you go, well, really, if I could sing high, I'd love to hear the singer sing this. And you sing it to him, and he sings it, or he just comes and sings a melody to you, like on Great Expectations, that I would never think of because I don't sing up in that range. And it's a wonderful thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for
sure. Having a lead trumpet up there, being able to tout, you know, shout above the whole thing, and sound musical and distinct and articulate.
Something wrong, I'm not sure what it is, and it grabs me and it's cold.
Neil Morse is back with a new album called The Grand Experiment, which came out in February. On this one, he worked with a full band. They wrote it together. It features, of course, Mike Portnoy, but Eric Gillette as well, Bill Hubauer, and Randy George. And they all sing, they all wrote it together, and it really is an exciting album. Here we spoke about the opening track, The Call, which is just a killer 10-minute opening track. The album also features a long epic called Alive Again, so you should check this out. But here we talk about the inspiration for the song, The Call.
We originally didn't have that a cappella entrance. We were going to bring that part in just at the end, you know, how it comes in towards the end of The Call. And I think Bill said, hey, why don't we try just singing this a cappella for the intro? And as I recall, he had a little bit of a time kind of selling that to Mike, as I remember. And then once we sang it and we tried singing it in the room, and then Mike went, oh, yeah, totally, let's do it.
Right. And bringing it back in at the end is really one of the special parts on the whole album, I think. So
I think so, too. I love that part. And I feel that's like that. It's a timely message too. Like it's like that's a message for people right now to, you know, leave it all behind you. It's time to let it go. Whatever, you know, whatever's troubling, like maybe a season. Hopefully, it's a season of healing for people.
Leave it all behind you. Time to let it go. Chains that bind you, let your heart go and follow the call. Feeling it all. taking the grief you need, you're feeling, but your feelings don't define who you are. You're more than your mind, so reach for the connection, leaving everything behind. Oh. Thank you.
Another new album that just came out this year in March is from a band called Lonely Robot, which is really the brainchild of one musician. His name is John Mitchell. He's from a band called It Bites and Arena, and he decided to do this project. He brought in a lot of great musicians on board, and it's just a really cool prog rock concept album about you know, being lost in technology and space. This is a song called Construct Obstruct. And yeah, definitely check this one out. This is really good stuff. Lastly on today's show is a track from Dave Kirzner. If you remember, Dave Kirzner was a member of Sound of Contact. After he left that band, he went and started work on a solo project, which he did through a Kickstarter campaign, and really raised a lot of money and put together just a stellar album with a ton of musicians, Steve Hackett, Nick DiVirgilio, and Simon Phillips, and Keith Emerson, and whoever is on there. It's a really great progressive album with all the type of grand music you would expect, and a lot of great songs. He released it in late December in 2014, and then put out another deluxe edition version with extended versions of songs and more tracks early in January of this year. Here we spoke about his love of vintage instruments and collecting those things, and which ones he decided to use on this album, leading up to a track called The Lie, which you could check out here.
The song is the most important thing. I love to play with toys, and you know, part of me wants to just sit down with Fernando and some other musicians and actually start songs just playing with toys, because happy accidents happen and sure, you can really get, but I didn't approach the album like that. This album was done mostly written from the piano or the guitar at first, and it worked as a melodic piece of music, and then it was about production and adding the flavors that I wanted, whether it was from other musicians playing or me turning on a Prophet 5, an analog synthesizer that Tony Banks and Peter Gabriel used, or a Mini Moog, which Rick Wakeman and Richard Wright used, or an EMS Synthie, which Pink Floyd used. You know, I would pull out, and CP70s, certain, and Wurlitzers, these are instruments that I have around me that I love to just look at and play, and it's art to me, it's history. But you know, when it's appropriate, I'll fire it up and record it.
Following the pulse of a loveless heart,
Thanks again for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We'll have another podcast in a little bit with some new clips and some new music. Don't forget to check out theprogreport.com. Check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, at The Prog Report, and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. See you soon. Thanks.